I'd like to welcome everyone to Jenkins Church this morning. It's good to see everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to start out this morning by asking if there's any first-time visitors this morning that would like to be recognized.
We have first-time visitors on the back row over here with the Nelsons, a friend. I forgot the first name, but Miss Smith. Then we have on the back row over here, your good faithful people to leave the back row for the visitors. Some churches won't do that, so right here in the middle, welcome. And then about a long-time visitor right in the middle up front. Anybody else here? Harold and Angie have their granddaughter and great-granddaughter with them this morning, but Jessica's been here before, but we welcome her again. Anybody first-timer over here? Lauren has a guest this morning. Have you been before? Okay, well, welcome this morning, too. I believe we covered those who are in here right now, okay? We'll have Jerry back. He's been out with some ailments.
Mm-hmm. All right, do we have any announcements this morning? Patrick. Any more announcements? Yes.
Okay. Session meets tonight at 6 o'clock. Session meets tonight. Yes, one over there.
Welcome. All right, anything else? Any more announcements?
Well, I think I'm back, but I'm not sure my spirit's made it yet. Nancy and I were able to go to 8 different cities, slept in 4 different beds, and saw Christmas decorations and friends and new acquaintances. I was able to speak to Andes Presbytery in their fall meeting, and I spoke to about 18 preachers in Cocoa Valley Presbytery down after we got to College Columbia. We landed last week. I know it was cold here last Sunday. Was it cold here last Sunday? We landed in College Columbia, and it was 98 degrees. So we thought about y'all for about that long. But we had a good trip. It was a little rough getting home. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. But we made it about 1 o'clock. We got home about 1 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, and we made it okay. So it's good to be back, good to see everybody, and Columbia is doing well. Their churches are doing well there. They've got new church developments, and we just enjoyed the nursing home. I was able to go over there for the afternoon on Tuesday, and they're about through. They're planning a dedication for that facility and opening on February the 13th. So everything is good down there. Patrick's going with a group from Paducah, Kentucky in January to work at El Coro, a church camp up in the mountains. And their electrical work is something out of the 20s or 30s. I don't know. It's old. So they're going to go up there with about 6 electricians and try to fix up the camp up there. So everything's good, and I'm glad to be here. And January the 9th, I'll leave again.
Thank you.
Hong Kong.
I need to... Donna, you have children's... Okay. Donna walked in. I was worried about who had children's church.
All right. Any more announcements? Okay.
The president of the corporation has resigned. The secretary is absent this morning. And also the treasurer, Baker, Alamore, and Stoskowski. And so I get to do the honors of conducting a congregational meeting and a meeting of the corporation. A number of years ago, the session decided that it was proper for us to become a corporation, basically for liability purposes. And I'm still not just really sure of everything we're supposed to do except send the state some money every year, like $20 a year, and fill out a new form. So we're doing that. But for the session meeting, we opened a session, a congregational meeting, I'm sorry. We opened a congregational meeting at the 8 o'clock hour and announced the nominees for the elders that were nominated last week, actually nominated by the session, presented to the congregation last week. The congregation had no other nominations to offer, but it's proper for us to go through, at least go through the motions of election. We had a motion in the 8 o'clock service for these three, that being Larry Gardner, Mike Brine, and Steve Alamore, to be elected as elders to serve 3 years on the session. And so we are at that point now. We continued that meeting till this meeting, and trusting that is proper. And now it is time to hear a motion that we vote. Do we hear a second to that motion? All in favor of Larry Gardner, Mike Brine, and Steve Alamore being joining the session for a 3-year term, let it be known by saying aye. And all who might oppose? Okay. Thank you. And now, for corporation business, if you have concerns to come before the corporation, you may share them now. Do we have any concerns to come before the corporation? Let me just announce the session will meet tonight at 6. And most of our business is done through the session. And we will elect new officers to the corporation either tonight or the meeting in January. And we need to, probably the meeting in January. But we do need to give the people of the congregation an opportunity to bring any concerns that they have before the total congregation. Now, you are welcome to come to the session meeting, 6 o'clock. Normally it meets the second Sunday night of the month, and that's what tonight is, the second Sunday night of December. If we have no more concerns for the corporation, I will declare the meeting closed and offer a prayer for the congregational meeting. Lord God, thank you for the church. In your Bible, your word to us, in the history of your people working for your kingdom, gives us instructions for operating. And Father, we know that you have called through the Apostle Paul that things be done decently and in order. And we pray, Lord, that we have followed those instructions this morning. We did to the best of our knowledge and abilities. And Lord, we pray for you to bless these elders. And Father, we pray that you will encourage this church to be about that business that we're called to be about. In Jesus' name, amen. We will have an installation service for ordination of two of the elders, Larry and Mike, early in January, and then the installation of Larry and Mike and Steve already having been ordained at that service, and that'll be sometime early in January. Thank you.
All right, it's time now for prayer requests or praises that the congregation may have. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Didn't think I was going to be here.
We got an invitation from Yaroslav. We didn't get an invitation from you, but...
Come on.
Can we come to your graduation?
Absolutely.
Also, Lauren Linder will have corrected surgery on her feet Friday at Vanderbilt. So we lift her up in prayer. Barb will be thinking about you.
Yes.
Been here today, but he's sick. I went and took him to town last night.
also like to just pray for the youth and myself and all who are going through finals this coming week. Just pray for focus and just a good ending to the semester for everyone. At this time, we'll pause for a moment of silence and the lighting of the candles. If you'll stand with me for our call to worship, it is responsive this morning and it can be found in your bulletins. Sing aloud, sons and daughters, shout with joyful praise. The God of our salvation is near at hand. Our Redeemer is in our midst. Make known God's deeds. Proclaim Christ's love for all to hear.
Let's rejoice and sing Joy to the World, hymn 125.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let rain.
For prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come expressing our joy and praise to you. Lord, your word calls us to rejoice, just to rejoice in the Lord. And Lord, rejoice at the great events that you have brought about, Lord. The great event we especially rejoice in and express joy over is you gave your Son for the salvation of the world. All the people of all time, all who would trust in you. And Lord, we just come today trying to express that joy with much thanksgiving, much appreciation. Oh Lord, we're humble before you because of your goodness to us. Use us to bring glory to you in this place
But your people, wherever they gather, we pray, Lord, that you would bring glory through the preaching of your word, the singing of the great hymns of the church, the reading of your word, and Lord, just the sharing together in the love that you have shown us, especially as you have shown it in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we offer our prayer in his name. Now come and to pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And Paul is going to graduate. Come up, stand here. Paul is going to graduate Saturday, and he had an interview this week for a church that's interested in his services as a worker with youth, our youth director. And then he's got a problem. There are some other churches, they may not have told him yet, that are showing some interest in him too. So he has some great opportunities. So I asked some of the young people here at the church, I forget who it was I asked yesterday, I said, can Paul be a youth worker? And they said, oh yeah, yeah he can. And these are some that were with him throughout the summer and have been on the trips with him. So we just affirm him in his progress toward studies and ordination for ministry. And he plans to get in seminary last of January, I guess. And we're anticipating a great graduation celebration. Okay. Saturday.
I just want to say thank you for just the prayers and the support, and to Patrick and to Brother Larry and Sam and just this whole congregation who've gotten me this far. And mostly thanks to God, who's just been part of everything. So it's been really awesome to just see God moving in my life and through this congregation. So just want to say thank you to you all. And saying that, we're going to move on to the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It can be found on page 716 in your hymnals or on the screen behind me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our call to confession this morning comes from Psalms chapter 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And our prayer of confession this morning is in unison. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly into our lives and into our hearts. Renew us with your love. Help us bear fruit worthy of repentance. Where there is hatred, heal us with your love. Where there is discord, calm us with your peace. Where there is sin, cover us with your grace. Where there is despair, strengthen us with your hope. Baptize us with the fire of your Holy Spirit, that we may be refined and cleansed of our sins. Gather us into your midst, that we may be your people. Amen and amen. Amen. Our words of assurance this morning also come from Psalm chapter 32, verse 10. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him.
All right, I would ask you to turn your hymnals again to hymn 404. 402 and 404 have the same words, but the tune in 404 is the one that we're most familiar with. So let's sing 404. 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but hope on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness fell his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Been asked to remind people about the note in the bulletin about the poinsettia. They're very beautiful. They'll be here this Sunday and next Sunday. If you would like to put one in memory, honor of someone, please do so, and we will get that in the bulletin next Sunday. Thank you very much.
It's time now for us to express our thanks to God. Our offertory sentence this morning comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Can the ushers please come forward? time now for all the children to come forward for children's time with Miss Andrea. I'm thinking about it. There is children's church. The bulletin I think says there isn't, but there is children's church this morning.
Wow. Good morning.
Good morning.
Got too many things here in my hand. Who can tell me? Do you remember what the first candle was that we lit a couple of weeks ago? Do you remember the first one? Starts with an H. Hope. Okay, we'll go ahead and light that one back. Okay, and then do you remember last week, what last week was? Starts with an L.
Love.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, this week we're going to light our third candle, and that candle is the candle of joy. And this one to me is very near and dear to my heart. I started thinking about, in some of my devotionals this week, it talks about how we've gotten away from... Is this too loud? Is it okay? Okay. How we've gotten away sometimes from really focusing on the Sabbath day, about what the Sabbath day is all about. And the Sabbath day, and the reason we're here gathered together, is to honor and worship our Lord and Savior. And we tend to forget that. And, of course, you know, I'm old now, and when I was a little girl... every Sunday, there was no gas stations open, there were no grocery stores open, there were certainly no malls or stores or things like that open, and every Sunday was totally focused on the Lord's Day. And we went to church every Sunday, and we went to my grandparents for lunch and my other grandparents for dinner, and that's what we did. We spent it with family. And my grandparents both were farmers, and there were things to be done, but they only did what had to be done. You know, I think about getting the ox out of the ditch. Well, that's all they did. That cows have to be milked morning and night, whether you know, that doesn't stop. But that's all they did. My grandmothers prepared all the meals on Saturday the best they could. All that we did was, like, make the biscuits, you know, at the last minute, and we helped with that and everything. But I can think about that and how much we focused on our Lord and Savior for the entire day. And that's why, to this day, I have so much joy in my life. I feel like I do, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's going on, because I know what the Sabbath day is all about. And the Sabbath day is about our Lord and Savior. So the joy is there. And I was looking for a verse that kind of talked about that. And in Psalms 43, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me." And, of course, we're talking about the Lord's light, correct? "Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill." And in our case, that's here to our church to worship, or wherever that we're gathered in the Lord's name. "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God with my exceeding joy." So it's just really, to me, when we come here on the Sabbath day, I know sometimes our hearts are heavy, and we've all got things going on. We've got to remove Miss Melanie this week. But we keep that joy in our heart when we come here with the right attitude and the right outlook, and that's the joy. And we can have that joy because what the Lord did. The Lord came. Yes, He came as a babe. And He went to the cross for us. But He didn't stay on the cross, and He didn't stay in the grave. And what joy. What joy. But what joy we keep to, you know, we don't want to keep that joy to ourselves. We certainly want to share it. So let's go ahead and light the third candle for joy. Let's keep in mind that joy, and let's not take for granted the fact that we're able to come here and worship our Lord and Savior, and let's come with thankfulness, with the hope that he gives us in our heart, the love that he gives us that's just totally indescribable, and the joy that we should show him while we're here. Let's go ahead and sing with Miss Melanie.
And there is Children's Church. That was a misnomer in the bulletin. Miss Jonna's going with them. 4-year-old, 5-year-old, and
all right. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from two places in the Bible. The first one is John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. Then they asked him, "What must we do to the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." And from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not for yourselves, this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Please forgive the misstatements in the bulletin. You can proof and prove. If I'm proofing my own work, or even what I'm going to be involved with, I cannot find the mistakes till I sit down in the pulpit. It wasn't my work, but we proofed it and didn't catch a wrong statement or two, like Children's Church. But we are able to announce them. I'd like to talk this morning about repentance, confession, and saving faith. Repentance, confession, and saving faith. One Sunday school class is on the same page with me this morning, looks like. Is that New Beginnings 1 or 2 or New Beginnings class anyway? It was expressed Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. And thank you for sharing that through the prayer. And basically I was thinking as Gary prayed, he's preached my sermon. But how do we learn? And we'll do it again, because we learn through going over and over and over. It's 3 out of 4. like 3 out of 4. That's pretty good odds, isn't it?
What are we talking about, 3 out of 4? The third Sunday in a 4-Sunday season. Well, where did we get these seasons of the church? Where did all these seasons come from? Well, somewhere along the way, somebody determined that it would be good for the church to prepare for Christmas. Prepare for the celebration. I grew up in the country, and we didn't observe the seasons of the church, or I wasn't there often enough to know anything about that, if we did. But we had times of spiritual renewal, or we had a summer revival. And it always had to come in the summer, usually in August or early September, because it was my comprehension at that time that that's the only time a person could get saved, in the summertime, in the revival time. And you couldn't trust the Lord throughout the rest of the year. I went off and went to school and went to a Christian school and then a theological seminary and learned that there were opportunities of spiritual growth and spiritual renewal throughout the year as the year is divided up into seasons. Season of Advent, 4 weeks before Christmas, or 4 Sundays. Season of Lent, but there's also a season of Epiphany. And then there's the season of, we call it the March of Missions from Easter to Pentecost. There is a season after Pentecost for the church to be at work in the world. I knew about Easter growing up because that's when everybody got a new clothes and wore them to church, shiny shoes and all like that. I knew about Christmas because we usually had a Christmas program. But any other season or holiday, we didn't know much about it. Advent, 4 Sundays prior to Christmas, getting us ready, hopefully a spiritual growth time, a spiritual uplifting time, renewed commitment to the Lord, renewed dedication, special study, hopefully, in some lives anyway. And it's a time of preparing to celebrate the birth of the Savior of the world. We're going to celebrate Him economically, aren't we? Materially, we're going to celebrate Him. What about our spiritual celebration? Our Christian celebration? And we're here today, you show that you're a part of that. Last Sunday night and last Saturday night, thank you, Debbie. Beautiful job, beautiful job. I didn't get to see Saturday night, but I got to see Sunday night. I was here, but I had other responsibilities. And then Sunday night, beautiful, presented the story from a little different perspective, right? But a beautiful presentation of the birth of Jesus. So that's part of our celebration. In Sunday school this morning, the class that I try to lead, we looked at the prophecies concerning Jesus. It didn't just happen. It was planned. God planned it. We looked from Isaiah, from Micah, and then we looked at Luke and Matthew both, the account of how this was the fulfillment of these Old Testament prophecies, or some of them, concerning the birth of Jesus, even where He was to be born of a virgin. And we looked at them in that class this morning, just to remind us of the background and the Christmas story. Sam began on the 29th. He brought the message the 5th Sunday, and he preached about evangelism, or us being evangelists, or us telling the story of Jesus. Just telling the story about Jesus. Jesus being the Savior. And then last Sunday, I issued a call to repentance based on John the Baptist's call to repentance as he came on the scene to prepare the area, Judah, that area for the coming of Jesus onto the scene as a minister going about doing his work of ministry.
healing, teaching, other miracles, feeding the hungry, etc., etc. Those things that Jesus did prompts us even today to make sure that we help the hungry or help the not so fortunate have a big meal at least on Christmas Day. I think we're giving out 17 baskets plus some more. So anyhow, 17 baskets, or we will get them delivered. Confession of sin and putting our faith in Jesus as our personal Savior. That's what I want to think about today. Confession and then faith. Somebody called it saving faith. I think our confession of faith, our statement of faith in the little blue book. Do I have one handy here? It calls it saving faith, or faith that's through which we are saved. Saved from what? Years ago, one of my classmates in seminary gave me a little book. Said, saved from what? Don't think I ever read all of it, but read a few pages. Maybe I get around to it in my retirement years. But it's saved from sin. What we're saved from. Saved from separation from God, from being separated. We are found. We're brought back into the fellowship of God. And we're saved to good works. We are saved from being alienated from God and brought into a relationship with God. Some people call it an intimate, personal relationship rather than just kind of a how you doing today, see you later, God. Okay. But let's think about, if you will, our faith in Jesus as our personal Savior. John came preaching. That's what we talked about last week. And the people ask. He preached, you need to repent, folks. And they understood that repentance meant change. And they said, well, how do we repent? What are you talking about, John? Or what shall we do the works of God? That question was asked. And people asked Jesus this. But they asked John, "What do you mean? What do you suggest we do? How do we live a life that would please God and would make have us to be ready to receive the Savior when He comes?" They're asking. Says to me, may not to anybody else, but it says to me that they were admitting that they had not been living right. They had not been living lives that would please God. They understood this. Most people, when they are living for the devil, living estranged from God, living lives that would not be pleasing to God, participating in activities that they could not bring into Jesus' presence. They know it. These people, I believe, who came before John and said, what should we do? What are you talking about? Give us some details. Don't talk in such general terms, John. They knew that their life was not like it should be. And they asked him, what should we do? Just like the people that Jesus ministered to in John 6. What shall we do to be doing the works of God? They knew that they had not been doing right. And their admission of this, to me at least, and hopefully I'm right on this, I believe I am or I wouldn't say it, that was their way of confessing. We have been wrong in our way of living. Jesus did a lot of things while he was on earth. You start naming the things, and I remember Johnny Cash being a country music fan of some sorts. Johnny Cash had a song that he would enumerate or list the things that Jesus did or some of his activities. And he gave sight to the blind, and he fed the hungry, and
He walked on the water, and those are three that just come to mind even as I'm standing before you this morning. But I think these were all listed in that song that Johnny Cash made popular. But they're all listed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can find them right there. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. All four of them don't tell the same event, but if you read all four, you'll get the works that Jesus came to do. He came to teach. He came to heal. He came to feed the hungry. He came to do miracles. But the most important thing that Jesus did was to provide salvation. The most important thing that Jesus came to do was to provide salvation to those of his day and to those of our day and all of those in between, even to those who came before him who were looking for his coming. Salvation to all who would have it. Today, salvation to all who will have it. He doesn't force his salvation on anyone, but he makes it available to all who will take it. Even prods them or prods us to claim the salvation that he offered. Talking about salvation, one way to put it, the forgiveness of sin and eternal life that will be spent in the presence of God and all the saints of all time in heaven, even those that we knew personally, not just those that we read about in church history books. He provided forgiveness of sin, eternal life for all the saints of all time, that we'll spend that eternity, that eternal life in heaven with himself. I had a thought that God does not sat around in heaven, look down on us, and say, I'm going to catch somebody today doing something bad, and I'm going to get them when they do. I'm going to zap them when they do. But some people see God is that way, that he's sitting up in heaven, looking down on us, and just waiting for us to do something so he can say, I got you. That's not the way God is. If you're thinking of God as that way, that is not the way God is. God wants us to be in fellowship with him. God is sad when we do things that are contrary to his will. God is not happy with us. And I think it breaks his heart because he sent his son to the cross to die for us that we might be forgiven. Instead of saying, I got you, boy, I'm going to really get you when we get home. Or daddy will get you when he gets home. Like some parents, mothers say to their children. He says, folks, I have salvation for you. I have salvation for you. Repentance. We dwelt on that a bit last week, as already said. And then confession. I have said that they are prerequisites to being saved, but we cannot separate them from being saved, so we must say they are a part of that experience, that salvation experience, or that faith unto salvation, or that saving faith experience. So, saving faith, or faith unto salvation, and repentance and confession, they're intertwined. They are together. Now, we might confess a sin separately, especially the saved. We've been saved, so we go and confess, Lord, I've done wrong. Repentance, we can separate it there, but we need to put them together for the salvation experience or for the forgiveness experience. Two meanings of confession, though. Let me point that out. One is confessing what we have done wrong or what we have done right. It's confessing what we have done. Sometimes we talk about what we've done that's right. But confession is usually referred to confessing our sins
is what, if it's our sins, it's what we've done wrong. The other is confessing faith in God. A person came forward in church and confessed their faith in Jesus as their Savior. One version of the scriptures in the translations used the word professed. And I somehow, somewhere along the way, began to like the word professed. We profess our faith in God as Creator, etc., etc. We profess our faith in Jesus Christ, and we confess our sin. But other versions of the Scripture use the word confession both ways. It's according to what version that you're using. So, confession is confessing faith in Jesus. Speaking forth, proclaiming, admitting, expounding or expressing our faith in Jesus. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, Romans 10, and you shall be saved. That Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. Confess with you, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. Philippians, the Apostle Paul wrote about these Philippians, chapter 2, verse 11, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe it's verse 13, he speaks of there, he says, your confession of the gospel of Christ, or your proclaiming of the gospel of Christ, or your trust in the gospel of Christ. But for this lesson, we're thinking about confession, admitting that we have fallen short of what God calls us to be, and we have fallen short in doing what God has called us to do. It might also include, we need to say, it is expressing sorrow for our sin. Did I say it might? It certainly does. Let me back up there a moment. Confession also includes expressing sorrow for that which we have done. Some people will say, yeah, I did it, so what? That don't get us very far, does it? We need to express sorrow for the hurt that we've placed on God's heart or anybody else that we have hurt through our sin. Failure to live up. Somebody expressed it this way: in response to God's initiative to restore relationships that have been broken or at least strained because of our sin, persons make honest confession of sin against God to their brothers and sisters and all of creation and amend the past so far as in their power. One of the great things about the 12-step program, I don't know who here is in a 12-step program. We have had members of the congregation who have been very active in 12-step programs. But the 12-step program teaches, and it's very important in the program, that a person go and make amends wherever it is possible. If they have harmed someone, they have admitted that they cannot control their own life, they have looked to God as a higher power and somebody who can give help to their life, and they're looking to Him, and then they take it seriously to go and make amends in those situations where they have harmed someone. And then you confess and you repent. I really think confession must precede repenting. We admit what we've done wrong, and then we turn from that which is wrong in our lives. There's a little song that I quoted last week, turn from sin and sorrow. That's Climb Up Sunshine Mountain. There's a couple of lines in that. Turn from sin and sorrow. Turning to right living as God teaches us to live. Repentance. somebody described repentance as that attitude toward God wherein sinners firmly resolve to forsake sin, to trust in Christ, and to live in grateful obedience to God. Confession. Repentance. We express it. And then we put our faith in Jesus as our Savior. We trust Jesus to take away all of that we've done wrong. We trust Him to guide us on a new path. Saving faith. Saving faith, has been stated, is response to God prompted by the Holy Spirit. We respond to God, but not of our own volition or own will. We respond to God as we are touched. Is that a good way to put it? As we are prompted by the Holy Spirit. And we come to rely solely on nothing else, nothing in our hands we bring, except clinging to the cross, what Jesus has done for us. Rely solely upon God's grace in Jesus Christ for our salvation. And that includes trust in the truthfulness of God's promises in the Scripture. It includes sorrow for our sin. And it includes the determination to serve God and neighbor. God calls us. The Holy Spirit delivers the message to us. And we respond as the Holy Spirit works in us. Or we put up a defense and say, no, I'm not quite ready to become a Christian yet. Like one of those persons that the Apostle Paul went before was at Festus. And he says, almost, I can't remember exactly which one it was, almost you convinced me to be a Christian. But almost wasn't enough. We do not merit salvation, folks. We do not merit salvation. It's a gift. But God requires us to express it to save us. When we repent of sin and in faith embrace God's salvation that He offers in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. Now, what about those tough times out there? What about those stumping the toe in our life, the spiritual toe? What about those times that we wander away and we lose our temper or we do something that we just know we shouldn't do? We're tested. And we suffer many struggles. But we, as trusters in Jesus, those who are trusting Jesus, we have the promise of ultimate victory through Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 7. He says, I keep on doing those things I don't want to do. I know I shouldn't do. And I keep not being able to do those things that are right that I want to do. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. But there's Paul, the apostle, coming to confess. Wretched man that I am. Then he says, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he gives the answer. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that sets us back on the right path when we stray and we wonder. What about your faith? Is it saving faith? You know, there's faith for food on the table. We're taught that. Shelter. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 6. There's faith for that God will help us with shelter and all those things that we need. Then there is traveling faith. We ask for safety in Yaroslav and his mother as she flies in, and others. Lord, protect us on this. That's, somebody called it temporal faith as opposed to saving faith. Saving faith is needed for eternity. For eternity. Your hope of heaven. Your hope of forgiveness. I trust that it's in Jesus. Because He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. Amen. And amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for sending Your Spirit to move in us, to work in us, to prod us, to convict us, to convert us, to consecrate us. Lord, we pray in thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The song is, I believe it's 371. Have Thine own way, Lord. Just have Your way, Lord, in my life. God's way is to save us. Will You trust Him as your Savior? If you have it. 371 verse 1 and 4. Stand together if you will. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace this day, throughout this season, yes, even through eternity. Amen and amen.